Man, what a beautiful, beautiful morning. Is it not just pretty outside today? So I'm hoping that this week we have another situation in our lives that was kind of like last Sunday. Some of you guys will cringe when you say that, when you hear this, but I love the boom, the pop, and the lights going out because it kind of shakes things up a little bit, right? Like this week, we had some terrible, terrible weather, right? Like it was bad. It was raining. We didn't get to play ball games. We didn't get to do all the stuff outside that we wanted to do. I had to take off a couple hours early just to be able to get some outdoor things done that I needed to get done in order to be able to do them because of the terrible weather, right? So all those things led up. One thing that I realized through those storms, through those hard times, was like how good God is. I've told several times, and Elijah even brought it up this morning, about how last week my inability to see normally, even in a lit situation, I was sitting here directly under the lights this morning and was struggling to read my Bible. I just said, man, it must be my allergies or something's acting up. However, last week, with the cloudiness that we had and the lack of power, I was able to see God's word written down in my Bible clearer than I have maybe ever, but definitely in a long time. And to see God's grace and mercy in those times of struggle and to see him work, sometimes we need that. Sometimes we need that storm to be able to really see the shelter that we have, right? For it to mean something. So we're finally into the 8th chapter of Hebrews. And I'm excited because the writer in Hebrews, as you'll see in our text, if you guys want to go ahead and open up, you can get prepared there. We're going to be in Hebrews chapter 8. We're going to be in the first 6 verses of chapter 8. The writer of Hebrews is kind of like, I say all that, now let's talk about where we're going. So let's read the text, and we'll see exactly where he's leading here. It says, now the main point of what is being said is this. We have this kind of high priest who sat down at the right hand of the throne of the majesty in the heavens, a minister of the sanctuary and the true tabernacle that was set up by the Lord and not man. For every high priest is appointed to offer gifts and sacrifices. Therefore, it was necessary for this priest also to have something to offer. Now, if he were on earth, he wouldn't be a priest, since there are those offerings and gifts prescribed by the law. These serve as a copy and shadow of the heavenly things. As Moses was warned when he was about to complete the tabernacle, for God said, be careful that you make everything according to the pattern that was shown to you on the mountain. But Jesus has now obtained a superior ministry, and to that degree, he is the mediator of a better covenant, which has been established on better promises. Let's pray before we dig into this. Lord God, as we read your word there, Lord, I ask that you just open it up for us, that you give us clarity, that we can understand what you wrote down through this author so many years ago, Lord, that we can gather the purpose that you have in our lives through your word here, Lord, and that we can study it, that we can understand it, and that we can go out and also proclaim it. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. So, I was kind of excited this morning. It's been happening more and more, but Elijah and I were talking this morning. We're having a little bit of discussion. And I have a couple of different versions. If anybody here, is anybody reading their King James version of the Bible this morning? Some of you guys may be reading that King James version. Some of you guys are reading other versions, and we read this morning the CSB. And I will tell you, in the first line, it is for me, and this is where Elijah's like, okay, yeah, I see your point this morning. I love that. I have to share that every time. That's twice this year. Most of the time, I'm the one. However, when we read this first line, it says, now the main point of what is being said is this. If you're reading the King James Version, it says the word, the summary of what's been said. However, I don't think that is the best translation. It's not just the summary. It is the main point. This is what is so important here. This is the head. And if you go back into the Greek, there's a word, kephalion, that speaks of the head or the most important part. Did you see I didn't even go? Okay. And I said it like I know exactly how to say it, Ralton. Okay. But it means the head, not the summary. Not like, hey, this is what everything's talking about. It literally means this is important. This is the most important thing that we go through. And you say, well, what all have we been talking about? You remember when we first started, it felt like we were talking about angels for like a month solid. And we talked about how Jesus was greater than the angels. We talked about how Jesus was greater than Moses. We talked about how Jesus was greater than the priests. We talked about how Jesus is greater than even Abraham. And now he said, we've talked about for seven chapters now, we have talked about how all of the things that you read in the Old Testament, all the things that were set up, all of those things that were so important to you, all of the people that you thought were so great, and even though they were goodness in God's plan, here is the main point. This is the main point. Jesus is superior to all that. Everything that you guys have in your life, that you have studied, that you've devoted your entire life to, in Judaism, everything that is just a part, but Jesus is greater. Now, as I read several commentaries and look, they really had to break down the way in which the Bible is written and the way that we read it, and then the way that the Jews at this time would have understood what was going on. And what we have really is a couple of parts here, right? Has anybody, like my wife, really enjoys watching the Marvel movies? Does anybody have certain movies? My dad hates the Marvel movies. He refuses to watch anymore. But does anybody watch the Marvel movies? Raise your hand if you watch them, okay? Is anybody a stickler on watching them in order? Like, you got to watch them in order, right? This morning, I was hearing a talk about Star Wars stuff. I never had enough swirlies in school to be able to really get into the Star Wars thing. Sorry, Caleb, wherever you're at. I've never got into that enough. No, I'm just kidding. I like the Star Wars thing too. But I never got into it enough to really know. So I could jump right into a movie and be like, okay, there's some guys with some cool lightsabers fighting, but I don't really understand any of it. But here's the problem. If you really get into, like my wife gets into the Marvel movies, and you start at the beginning, right? And you start watching them and you build the story, you kind of don't want to just say, I'm going to skip all the stories in the middle and let's just go watch the new Doctor Strange movie. Like my wife would choke out if we said, let's just go watch. Well, I got to go watch these other ones for it to make sense first. Well, we have that same situation here in which we get Act 1 and Act 2. We go to, we have plays. We go and watch those plays. We see Act 1 and we see Act 2. And we sometimes will watch television shows and you get that to be continued, right? However, in order for the second act to make sense, you have to understand what the first act, what the purpose of the first act was. It set up everything. In other words, we can't understand that we need a Savior if we do not go back and understand that we are fallen and dead in sin. Right? In order to fix a problem that we have to understand that there is a problem and the things that get to the point where now we can work on fixing them. Well, on the exact opposite hand of that, I don't think anybody likes watching a movie and going to the to be continued. It's always at the most suspenseful, best part of the movie. And then it just ends, and you have to wait months and months and months. And then when we don't get the second part of the movie, the whole first part makes no sense to us. There is no ending. There is no completion. Well, in God's plan for us, once sin came into the world, was there always to have a Savior. However, you can't understand the need for a Savior if you don't understand that you are in sin and in need of being saved. And you can't understand where to go from here. And this is where the Jews are. They're still in the first act. They're at the to be continued, and they're waiting till October for the second act to come in. And they're waiting and waiting and waiting and waiting, even though Jesus has already been here. So here we go. It says, now the main point of what is being said is this. We have this kind of high priest. Back to the high priest. Who sat down at the right hand of the throne of the majesty in the heavens. Now this is really important to understand. Priesthood at this point in time would have been that. Has anybody ever went out and watched some warm-ups on a baseball field? I know I've been using baseball quite a bit here lately. But one thing that we do is we get a line of people that are lined up on the baseball field, and one comes out, right, and you hit them the ball, and they grab the ball, they do what they need to do to warm up, they throw the ball, and then what do they do? Anybody have it? What do they do? Try to get you out. They do. They grab the ball. They throw it in. They've completed that task. So they go to the back of the line and they wait for their time to go again. The way that the priests would work is they would take time and they would go through. They would present the sacrifices. They would present the offerings. And then they would go back and they would wait. But they never stayed right there in the presence. They never stayed there. You couldn't stay there. As a matter of fact, there was a mercy seat that was there, and you would think that the mercy seat was a place like if you were in the middle of offering, the idea of mercy seat is I'm worn out, I'm gonna go have a seat. That is not the case. Would have been terrible, blasphemous for you to sit down. That was meant for God, not for your rest. Your point was to go in, set it down, and walk out and get back in line, wait your turn to sacrifice again. So when the writer of Hebrews says that Jesus, or we have this kind of high priest who sat down, we focus on the right hand. But we forget the fact that he came in and established his position by staying in the presence here of the majesty in the heavens. If these priests would have stayed in too long, if they would have done something out of line, out of their order of what they should have done, their lives would have been ended. Jesus literally is sitting there and staying and placing himself in the presence of God. He is sitting down, which means he is there to stay. This is a huge thing. This is the type of priest that he is. And we use this word priest because he is still our mediator. He is the one that we speak to, that we pray through. We speak all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. That's how we end most of our prayers as Christians. He is the one that brought us through sin and continues that. So as we go in, it says, a minister of the sanctuary and the true tabernacle that was set up by the Lord, not man. So we have that tabernacle here, and we also think of the temple. He is ministering in the true temple, not the tabernacle or the temple, not set up by man. So as we have this thought process of what's going on, we look at God's plan for our lives, right? And he looks at when the tabernacle was set up, it was a place, and the temple was set up, it was a place that we could send sacrifices that would get us on the right side with God. Yet those were the basics. It wasn't the fullness of the plan. So when I was growing up, whenever I was getting ready to finish my eighth grade year, my parents bought some property. And that was a place that we were going to establish our home. So we made a place there for our home, where our home was going to be, and we brought in a trailer to house us until our home was completed. So what we did is we came into this trailer, and eventually you get to know the trailer, and it means whenever it's raining outside, when it's hot, whenever you want to go to bed, that is the place that you go and you rest. That's the place that you get out of the heat. That ends up becoming a place of shelter, and it becomes comfortable. And in some ways, you get really attached. And we got really attached to that trailer, but the entire time while we were being in that trailer, in that small area, our home was being built and prepared for us. Well, we have the Old Testament, that we have Old Testament law, and it was, as we said last week, it was everything setting us up, preparing us, and getting us ready for Christ. We would be, if we were back in that time period, we have been looking forward to Christ in the same way that I could look out of my window in the place that was established for me to stay at that point in time, and I could see the process of my home being built. If we were back in that time period, we could see the things, the miracles, all the things being brought up that pointed us to Christ. But the current situation we're in is not the perfect situation. It is the plan for getting there. It is where we are currently, but it is not our goal. The same way here as Christians, this is where we need to be, hoping and praying in God. So as we get into that situation, the author here is pointing, he's saying, you guys have been doing exactly what God has asked you to do. However, he has established something better through Jesus Christ. What you have there, stop staying in the trailer and look forward to the home. Stop staying in the old situation and look forward to Christ being the high priest and the ultimate sacrifice for us. It also says that he is a minister of the sanctuary. This is totally against that deist thought that we were just created and left here just to live out our time. Jesus didn't just go up on the cross, give up his life, pay our rightful price for sin, right? He didn't just drink the sin cup for us and they just end and say, just live out your lives. There we go. It says he is still currently ministering. So in order for us to understand what that means, to have that ministering aspect, there were a couple of different things that the high priest would do. They would have sacrifices, right? They would give the gifts, the greetings, and then they would have the sacrifices. The sacrifices were given through the shed of blood, and the gifts were usually in the food form. These are the things that we do, that we are thankful for, that we share God's love for us, right? So God still ministers to us. He cares for us in our hard times. He comforts us. He has miracles in our lives that point to Him. He heals us. He gives us all those things, but the sacrifice has already been done. He has already drank the sin cup for us. He is not a deist God because He is still ministering and loving us. That high priest doesn't just end with the death. He still is there in the times that we need Him here. Whenever we are in our joyous parts of our lives, He's there to share in that joy. When we are in the hardest points, He is there to wipe those tears, to show us Himself, to perform miracles, to point us towards Him, to give us hope and comfort and joy. Sometimes when we get in those hard times in life, Christianity becomes a religion to us and not a relationship. Sometimes we're in the middle of that hard time and we forget that we still have that ministering God. We feel like we're just left out, we're left alone, and yet He still cares for us. Even when you can't see it, when you can't feel it, know He is there. It says, for every high priest is appointed to offer gifts and sacrifice. Therefore, it was necessary for this priest also to have something to offer. Now, if he were on earth, he wouldn't be a priest, since there are those offering the gifts prescribed by the law. Remember Jesus's point. Whenever we go through and we read, we never see Jesus go into the temple and say, I am the high priest, give me that lamb and let me take it to you before God. He never says that. Why does he never say that? For one, he is the lamb. And for two, his purpose is to fulfill the law, not continue the law. His purpose is to finish what had been started and start a new covenant, which you guys will learn about next week, but to start something new. His purpose was never to come in and continue everything that had been going on for years and years and generations. He was there to save us, not to continue preparing us to be saved. So you never see Jesus going in. We talked about his bloodlines were not set to be able to be a priest. He had all of these things that we talked about that would have taken him out of being able to be an earthly priest. He says that's not the point. You always see him going against and changing the traditions of the church, like going and feeding himself or performing miracles on the Sabbath. You don't see him going into the temple and sacrificing, which would have been like one of the most important parts of being a Jew at that point in time. You don't see him going in and performing those things. It's because he has something better. He has the fullness and the completeness of God's plan. He is the sacrifice. Also says that these serve as a copy and a shadow of the heavenly things. As Moses was warned when he was about to complete the tabernacle for God and said, be careful that you make everything according to the pattern that was shown to you on the mountain. Whenever we read this part, this part where it says, be careful that you make everything according to the pattern, you can go back and you can look in Exodus 25, and that is verse 40. He is repeating, as he does so many times through here, God's word through the Old Testament. He repeats Moses' words. We say, why does he do that? Why does he share scripture that is known? Because he is relating and pointing out. You guys remember when God said through Moses this is what he was talking about. right? We have trainings. If you work anywhere, you prepare and you train for so many things over and over again. We have heat stress training. We've got compressed gas training. We've got active shooter awareness training. We've got all these trainings, and we prepare for all of these things, and we wait for the day that we can go through that training, and whenever that situation comes up, we are ready for it. So they have studied and studied, and sometimes we get in this point where we forget what we were supposed to do. They have studied and studied, and yet the scriptures pointed to Christ for thousands of years, at least a few thousand, let's say that. They have pointed to Christ, and yet it has just become where they are looking for something else. They are looking something beyond the scriptures. They're looking for something greater or better. Yet they are looking for something that is of their own making. They don't understand the fullness of God's grace, mercy, and love for us. They want their own type of Savior. And he points out and says, time after time, do you remember when Moses said this? Do you remember when David said this? Do you remember when Abraham said this? Do you remember all those people that you think so highly of? All of those people that you claim as being the greatest of the greats when it comes to our faith, they all spoke about Jesus. They all talked about Jesus. And in this situation, he's saying, remember whenever Moses was speaking these words in Exodus 25, you remember whenever he was speaking those words, he says, be careful that you set up the tabernacle in the exact way that I said set it up, in the pattern that was given to you. This pattern, this setup here was just a shadow, the same way that I said, whenever I looked at that trailer growing up that we sat in, it was just a preparation for the home. It wasn't the final plan. You remember when he said, set everything up, that is a shadow of what is to come. It is a copy of what is to come, but it is not the original. As a matter of fact, if you go into situations in courts of law, you can't just present copies as based evidence. You need to bring the original. We need to see the original. We don't need to see something that can be changed. We want to see the original. This was the plan, not what everybody else made it out to be. Be careful, but know that the tabernacle was just a copy. We are looking for heaven. We are looking to be in the presence of God, not just see the presence as something we can't ever enter. We don't want to just continue. We don't want to have that point where we just continue to send our sacrifices and never see the presence of God. Jesus, as the high priest, brings us in, sits down by the right hand of God, and we will be able to come in and sit down with him, to be able to have that conversation, to be in the presence. We can't do that with any other priest. Every other priest just takes what we have to offer and goes in, and we say, man, my faith hopes that what he did was everything that he's supposed to do, it cleansed my sins, that everything was done, not cleansed them, but pushed them back, let's say that. And now we have the ability through Jesus to actually be in the presence of God, to have our sins washed away, to be saved. What we have on this earth is just preparation. We don't need to be looking for the copies. We need to be seeking out our heavenly home. We need to stop worrying so much about this being the place that we set up and pouring everything we have into this, into the copy, into the thing that points to, into the thing that resembles. And we need to go out and seek Christ. We need to draw near, as we read last week, draw near to Christ, or draw near to God through Christ. says, but now, but Jesus has now obtained a superior ministry. And to that degree, he is the mediator of a better covenant, which has been established on better promises. See, we still have religions today that think that in order to be able to have a conversation with God, that you need to go to some priest, or we need to go to somebody and confess these things. That we need to give all of our worries and everything to some human that is still on this earth, that is some man that is sinful and flawed, and we establish these situations where we talk to them and they talk to God for us. But right here, in Hebrews, verse 6 says that Jesus is our mediator. He is the one that speaks to us and mediates between us and God. He is the bridge. He is the one that has paid the price. He is our Savior. We can't go anywhere else. We can't put our faith in anything else. We have to put it in Christ. If you don't know exactly what that means, I'm going to finish this sermon in the way that I do many others and tell you that you are loved and you are cared for so much that God sent his son, the thing that we've talked about for 8.5 chapters now in Hebrews, and the things that we read about all points to this truth, that God sent his son out of his unbelievable love for us to save us out of sin, a place that we could not save ourselves. That no matter what sacrifice, no matter how great our parents are, no matter how great our grandparents are, they could never save us out of that situation. Kids, I'm here to tell you, your parents love you and they would give their lives for you. They would do absolutely anything for you that they could do, but they could not draw you near enough to God without pointing you to Christ and allowing him to be there for you. Jesus loves you, cares for you, and drank the sin cup to pay for your sins. The question is, are we constantly looking at the copy? Are we looking at the plans that we have? Do we look at in the same way that the Jews were? Are we always looking for something else other than what God's perfect plan is for our lives? We're always looking for something that fits more into our mold than his. Into his and our plan instead of his plan. God has established a new covenant, a new promise through Jesus Christ. If you want to know who that is today, I would be more than happy. We have several elders and deacons that would love to talk to you about that and share that gospel, that good news. But I'm here to say that our Savior is Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Lord God, I thank you for today. I thank you for your word. Lord, I thank you for continuing to share with us, Lord, to break everything down in the way that the writer says that the main point, the thing that we need to know above everything else is that Jesus is the one that officially saved us, the only one that could save us, that he is the one that poured out his blood for us, that sacrificed for us. He is the Lamb. He is also the high priest. He is also God. Oh, how special are we, God, to be loved by you. So much that in our nastiness and our sin and in our failings and in the situations that bring us down, Lord, that even in our unworthiness to be in your presence, Lord, that you sent your son, that Jesus stepped down off the throne, that he came down to this earth and became fully man, lived a perfect life, freely climbed up on that cross, knowing that he was going to pay in the fullness of God's wrath the price of our sins. That price that we rightfully deserved. Lord, I'm so thankful that even in our unbelief, in the times that we cling to things that just make us feel comfortable, that are worldly things that make us feel good, Lord, even in the sinful things, Lord, that I know that I struggle with, the sin of this world, with doing things that are wrong, Lord, I'm so thankful that even in those times, and even though in the disappointment and turning from you, that you still loved me enough to die for me, to sacrifice yourself for me, to comfort me. And Lord, that you just didn't end it with that, that Hebrews says you also are still ministering and loving me. Lord, I ask if anybody here doesn't know you as their Lord and Savior, that you bless them, that you give them the knowledge, Lord, and that you save them from the sin in their lives. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.